We're going to have a long afternoon. If you're not going to talk back, you need to talk back. We've got some friends from Langford right here in this second row. These are people from C3 Langford. Thank you guys so much for being here today. I mean, you should applaud them. They drive from Rockingham to Langford Sundays. And so, yeah, just love the fact that they've come along and supported. I think it's a bit closer. This is a bit closer. It's a great church. Like, great church. But then, I mean, if you need to come, you need to come. Just saying. But don't leave. Thank you for that great... that bio is pretty awesome. I wrote some of it, not all of it, but my exec pastor wrote it, so I really appreciate Lisa. She's holding the fort down at C3 Langford. So really excited about what God's doing in their lives as well. Elton and I forgot the other young man's...
Edwin.
Thank you so much for a great aspect of worship that God brought. And then just feeling what Pastor Stephen was talking about, that there's no one like God. It's going to be a cold morning here. It's very cold in here today. There's no one like God. Amen?
Amen.
Come on, there's no one like God.
Amen.
There's a lot that want to contend with him. Doubt and unbelief, for example, want to contend with him. Do you really believe that? Did he really say that? I don't know if I believe that anymore because my circumstance tells me this. I prayed for someone, they didn't get healed. I believed for something and God didn't come true. So when I say to you, hey, listen, awesome, there's no one like our God, you're going, I might debate that. And this is going to be the journey that of growing in relationship with God, understanding who you are in him, understanding the finished work of God, understanding that he's not a genie. If I just rub him the right way, if I just pray hard enough, if I just read long enough, if I just do the intention, if I just serve and I rub him the right way, he's going to come out with like smoke and go poof, and then what three wishes can I provide for you? But how do we worship God in the midst of disappointment? How do we do that? How do we still believe him when this loved one that we're praying for has passed? All of those journeys, that's part of this journey of discipleship. And so this is going to be over the next 2 weeks, we're going to just take some time out and just talk around that. And then for the leadership, we're meeting on Tuesday night. We're going to talk a little bit about strange fire. Hey, Elton, don't go too far. I need you. So Elton?
Elta.
I've got an Elton in my world, so Elta. Do you need to go? If you need to go to the toilet, you better run real quick. Now that I've told everyone what you're doing. And then Elta, depending on the length, we'll know if it's number one or number two. I know some of you are already saying, Pastor Stephen, why did you invite this man again? He's not the most appropriate person in the world. But I really feel that God wants to establish something in you. And I feel that there's an anointing on just the worship. And I think you're right, Pastor Stephen. There's this, and Yunami, we just want to honor you. Thank you both for allowing us to. Stephen, Elta, grab your guitar. This is number one. That was the quickest number one in my life. But I think part of what God wants to establish this morning is not to replicate what happened in Fremantle. Pastor Stephen already came and said, hey, listen, declare that there's no one like God. I firmly believe that Sunday mornings is not just for me to come and infotain you, give you information. Hopefully it's a good message. Hopefully you like it. If you don't like it, I get it totally. If you're tired and had a busy week and all, your mind's distracted, I totally understand. No, you've got to give double just for calling out. But the fact of the matter is, this is boot camp. This is training ground. This is equipping you to do the work of the ministry. That's why you have gifts like these guys, your leadership, that have a gift to be able to either, if it's pastoral or if it's evangelistic or if it's prophetic or apostolic. Apostolic in his age, it's all to equip you. It's not to elevate us. We're the mechanics that come and work on the car so that you can drive the car. We're the fuel that goes into your tank so that you can go and do. The Spirit of God wants you to know that he's called you. And so he provides everything, just like God provided Jesus so we can have relationship with him. So he provides gifts to the body. No one says to this microphone, "Oh, you're so anointed, microphone." But in the spirit, whatever you want to call it, that's really all that I am. Except I don't have like this, I don't have a cover, I'm bald. Like I don't have hair on my head. No, you have those microphones that got like a little sock on it. All I am is the microphone that God speaks through so you can hear it. So when you hear God's word, he's speaking to you. So never ever judge a sermon by if you liked it or not. Ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you regardless of it. Because it's the word of God that is alive and powerful. The word is spirit and it is life. So if you're saying, "Oh, listen, you know, I've had people in the past talking, oh, you don't preach Jesus, so we're going to another church." I wasn't sure who I was preaching about, but it wasn't about me. But I didn't take that as an insult. Well, initially I did. And then I called down fire from heaven. No, I didn't do that. What I did understand was, "Lord, let it always be you. Let never people see me. Let them always hear you. Let them see you. Let them connect to you. Because I can't do it for you. I'll disappoint you. They'll disappoint you. They won't live up to expectations at certain points. But when you're connected to him, all of that stuff just goes. When you seek first the kingdom, the lordship of Jesus Christ, you'll add everything to your life." All right. Elta, you're sounding great. So, in wanting to talk to you, what I felt through the time of our worship, all right, and this is not normally what happens. You normally like come, listen to a message, and we'll do an altar call, and we'll pray for you. But God's just flipping the script a little bit. I'm visiting. I'll be back here next week, maybe. But I think God's establishing something. So what I want to do this, I'm going to get you in a moment to stand up. Spirit of God is inviting you to be filled with him. We sang it. I can't remember singing that. What was the song? My mind was somewhere else. I get it. But he actually wants to fill you. It's the empowering of the presence of God. Hear me now. The Holy Spirit doesn't fill us if we're good enough or if we've had a great week. Or I'm not disqualified if I haven't had a good week. What qualifies us to be filled with the Holy Spirit is the death, the crucifixion, the death and the burial and resurrection of Jesus. It was paid in full. Because it was based on that I'm a Christian and that I'm doing good. Good old Cornelius back in the day. He was just doing religion and just had a ritual. And God comes and fills his house without him even knowing. So, I'm going to invite you to stand to your feet. Where's Edwin? Edwin?
All right.
So Andrew, Sherwin and Charlie. Okay, so in your mind, use your imagination. This is how we're made up. Spirit, soul, mind, will, emotions, imagination, body. Okay, that's a good body right there. The gun show. Yeah, okay. Spirit, soul, body. Spirit, soul, body. And so this is probably the place we live the most. This is our mind, our will, our emotions, our imagination. Yep. Emotions, everything is in this space. This, if you just put your hand on Charlie for a second, this space here tells Charlie what to do, how to feel, where to go, and do that sort of thing. So, hey, listen, I really want to feel better about myself. So, Charlie, can you go to the gym, cycle, and swim every day at the beach and build the beast tank that you are right now? So then I can actually feel better about myself. So then people will accept me. I'm just using it in a really basic understanding, okay? So these two have a really close relationship. Spirit, Sherwin, on the other hand, could be a little bit dormant, especially if we don't know Christ. So people in New Age and stuff like that, they know how to engage their spirit, the spirit realm. The occult knows how to do that. But what God is trying to get you and I to understand, that normally we live from this way. So my body, what its desires are, what it feels, what it's, they having this conversation, they're talking, they're doing life together. And yeah, we need to do that, we need to do that, we need to drink, we need to smoke, we need to girls, we need to do whatever it else. And so it's asking all of that. Or if I'm disappointed in God, or if I'm discouraged with church and people have hurt me, so then I don't go to where they are. I cut myself off. Or I say nasty things to them, because the Bible says out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So that's why Romans says, hey, listen, be transformed and renew your mind. These two can't do it together. Sorry, I'm spitting all over these brothers. These two can't do it together. Because my mind, my will, my emotions, my thoughts, the Bible says God's ways are much higher than that. And the only way that God's thoughts become my thoughts is that if my spirit is engaged and connected to his spirit. All right, so I need Jesus right here. Yeah, young man, yeah. Hands folded, you're Jesus, that's right. Jean-Claude. Jean-Jesus. And is it Edwin? Okay. Is it hot? I thought you were crying. I thought, Sherman, don't be crying in front of these Quinanians. Guys, can you come stand over here? Jesus, Jean-Claude, Holy Spirit, yep. Jesus, you can stand up top here, because there's always room for Jesus, amen? Ooh. Amen, thank you, Jean-Claude. So mind, will, emotions dictate how you live, feel, do, where you go. Body goes, yep, no, I'll be the vehicle that carries you to wherever you want to go, or you don't want to go. So then when Jesus, when Spirit hears about Jesus, so when Edwin hears about, Edwin? Why do I call you Edwin? Sherwin. When Sherwin hears about Jesus, this is Jesus. Jesus, put your hand on him. Your spirit comes alive. So he invites Jesus Christ into his life. So his spirit comes, the light goes on. Ah, I only thought my life was about these two, but now I understand that there's a spirit involved. So now Jesus is downloading. So when the spirit is engaged and the word of God is coming in, doing your devotional, reading the word of God, being around scripture, when you're positioning that, because if he wasn't positioning the word, he could have accepted Jesus Christ into his life, but there's no connection, there's no download, there's no Bluetooth. It's about the positioning with. I position myself in the word. I position myself around the word of God. Now, Jesus, can you put your hand on the mind, will, and emotions on this guy? Sherwin, just put your hand on him. So normally, where the battleground is for us as Christians is here. Where my mind, my will, my emotions is telling my spirit what to feel. God didn't heal and I prayed. And so I don't know if I believe anymore. Or this person and a church and a pastor hurt me, did this to me. I don't know if I want to position myself in that place anymore. So what God wants you and I to understand is that how he formed us, and we're going to get into scripture in these last few minutes, how he designed us to be was spirit, soul, body. Not body, soul, spirit. So that's the renewing of our mind in picture form. How do I renew my mind? I position myself in the Word of God. The Holy Spirit, lay your hands on there. Holy Spirit now comes and takes the Word of God and makes it alive to me. Your words are spirit. The Bible says this about it, about the Bible. The Word of God is spirit. The Word of God, Jesus, is spirit and it's life. Spirit and life. It's not information, intellect, and learning. It's spirit and life. And so when I engage the Spirit of God in my life, like we've just done in this moment, we invited him in. And when we position ourselves in the Word of God and hearing the Word of God, what that does, it produces life in me, produces the heartbeat of God in me. Because God is about the one. For God so loved that he gave, that whosoever, that's the one, that's us. But if I just do the one out of this place, it's another thing I need to do for church. It's another thing that we need to do. I don't know if I can talk to anyone. I don't know if I can pray for anyone. I don't know if I can do any of this because it's not my sort of personality and I'm a bit embarrassed and I'm going to do all of that. So I can't really do that. And so then that stops us from doing it. But God's saying, hang on a second. I want to bypass this blockage and I want to ignite my word and my spirit so that when I have a revelation of who he is in me, who he is in me, and who I am in him, this doesn't become so hard. So then, hey, listen, the order comes, can you go talk to that person? Can you reach out to that person? Then I do that. My physical's going, oh no, that's so embarrassing, I can't believe you're going to do that. But because now these two are in agreement, this one follows. All right, thanks guys, let's give them a big hand, they can sit down. Thank you, watch out, yeah, thank you guys. Thank you so much for helping. I want to just end off in a couple of verses. Just go to Genesis 1, 26. And then I'll be just a couple of verses around here and then we're going to finish. You guys okay? Does that make sense to you? I hope it does. Thank you for the five that responded. Appreciate it so much. Genesis chapter 1. I just want to read a couple of these and I want to tell you a story about honey hands and then I'm going to be done. But what I really would love you to do is make sure that you come back next week. Genesis 1, 26 to 27. Oh, it's already up there. Thank you, guys. You guys are amazing. Then God said, let us. So the picture is Father, Son, Holy Spirit, all in what they call the dance of the Trinity. Father's giving love to Jesus. Jesus giving love and honor and praise to the Father. The Father's giving honor and praise to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's giving it back. And it's just this amazing trio just giving back and forth in that place of closeness and intimacy and oneness. And in that place, this is what we read. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image. Turn to your neighbor and say, image. Come on, do it again. Say, image. Thank you. Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they, and then it tells, goes through. The thing that I wanted to focus on is that God said, hey, listen, in this place of closeness right now, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, I really want to make mankind and I want to bring them into this relationship. And so then we read on, verse 27. So God, they had the discussion, the thought came in, they had the discussion, this is what they're going to be doing. And then 27, so God created mankind in his own image. So God is spirit. In that place, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, they're spirit beings. They're not sort of, I don't think, head, shoulder. We know that Jesus now has a body. So God created mankind in his own image. And then it repeats itself just differently. It says, in the image of God. So he created them in his image. But it's not just external. It's this internal thing that it literally came from God. And it says that in the image of God, he created them. So he created us in his image, but then it was from that image of who he was, he actually made us. That's what he did. So you're actually not just a byproduct of God having like a moment and like, oh, that was an amazing prayer session, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Awesome, great. Why don't we do this? No. It was birthed on the inside of who God is. That's your value. It exceeds the cross. The cross was the payment for you. The value of you is that God the Father thought it was an amazing idea to create you in the space of that Father, Son, Holy Spirit. I think that is incredible. So when insecurity speaks to you, when disillusionment speaks to you, when lack speaks to you, you need to know who you are. You were created in the image of God, you look like him, but it came from that, what was on the inside of him, that's where it came from. And that's your worth. So why does the enemy have an assignment to steal, kill, and destroy? He could not do with you or with Adam what God had done in that moment. Everything the enemy wanted was if he could just be like God. He wanted that image. He was just a worship leader. Yes, he was all of that and a bag of chips, instruments all through him. But the thing that he longed for was the image of God, which has been given to you. So if I can't have the image of God, no one else can. I'll come to steal it. I'll come to kill it. I'll come to destroy it. Do you see your worth? Do you see your value in him? So that's why he says, hey, listen, turn your spirit on. Turn your spirit on. Position yourself in my word. Position yourself in my spirit so I can download. LT, you can come. So I can download into you. Oh, Pastor Clinton, you know, I just struggle to read the Bible. It just doesn't really mean I can listen to a lot of messages. I can do that. Like I can just go on YouTube. Can I tell you the adventure that there is in having a relationship with him that far beats anything that we'll ever do? In closing, I want to tell you about Honey Hands. So Honey Hands came out of, so there's a couple of things. Honey Hands is something that I do personally with my relationship with God. Honey is a picture, imagine a big honey pot filled with honey to the top. The honey is God's love. So every time that I step out of my home, my life, it actually happens while I'm still laying on my bed before I get up. So God, today I put my hands into your love. But it's not just my hands, it's my whole being. That today that I will love people the way you love them, I will see people the way you see them. So my honey hands. So imagine if you dipped your hands in honey and then you went and touched everyone, they would have the residue or the stickiness of honey on them. So that's what I do. And so I'll touch people, especially at church, and hug people. So the background story you know now, that's what I do. Because every time I want to touch you, greet you, say hi to you, I'm leaving the love of God on you. Love of God is a powerful force. So this is not just for me. You can do it as well, all right? You don't need to be a pastor. We all can do that. It's God's love. All right? I just look at it a honeypot. You can look at God's love like a shower. I don't know. Whatever you want to do. So I'm at work, I'm ringing a lady that I haven't met that's introduced me, another pastor friend has introduced me, or given us numbers to ring each other. They do provision of food in the Midland area. We do what we call Love Langford, where we provide meals for our community, free meals where they come and have a meal together. We've been doing it for the last 7 years, I think over 40,000 meals. We've just done amazing stuff that happened. God's awesome. So I'm ringing her because I know she's, and I could tell she's not a Christian. She's not into it. This lady, pastor friend, is trying to introduce her or bring her into that relationship with God, but she's a little bit anti it. And I ring her, name's Kate, and say, hey, Kate, how you going? It's Clint. We finally got each other. We played phone tag for a bit. Finally got her. And then she said, oh, yeah, Janelle said you were going to call. And then I started telling her about what we do. I just went into, you know, this is what we do, and this is what we do, and this is what we do, and this is what we do. Because I think that's the purpose of the phone call, to connect the two agencies together. She interrupts me in my conversation and goes, sorry, Clint, I'm just not able to take that all in, but I will get your number. Now that I've got it, you've rang me. I will ring you when I can. I'm just on the way to the hospital. I just got a call from the hospital. My husband's had a burst aneurysm in his brain. They said he's 50% chance of living. And then you could hear her starting to cry. And the voice was shaking. And in that moment, I'm sitting on the phone to her, and I could have easily just gone into the, oh, really, Kate, I'm so sorry, feeling like an idiot because I've just ranted about all the stuff we're doing. And in that moment, I get the picture of honey hands, the big honey pot, and dipping her hands. Now, up until then, I hadn't really spoken too much to people about honey hands because I know what people will say. Pastor Clint has finally lost it. He's crazy. I get it. And as I'm about to hang up the phone, just to get off the phone as quick as I can, because obviously she's a bit frantic and a bit emotional, I said, Kate, listen, this might really sound strange, and please forgive me if this offends you. I hope I'm not trying to do that. And I explained what I explained to you about the honey hands. And I said, as you told me about your husband, I got the picture of this honey pot with God's love. Can I ask you that when you stop at the hospital, just dip your hands in God's love in that honey, in your imagination, go into the hospital where he is and just rub wherever the aneurysm is. Just place it on him if you can. I later spoke to them and he was literally waiting at theater's door because she wasn't allowed to go in for her to come and say her goodbyes to him. The following day, I received a text back from her, and all on that text was a honeypot with two honey hands, or two hands emojis, with "it works." I know, pretty awesome. So, Quinana, I just needed you to notice that was Langford started the clap, but anyway, if you want to catch up, that's fine. And so that was amazing, and she rang me, and she was tearful, and she was like, "God, I can't believe it." And then his recovery was so incredible, doctors couldn't believe it, that the bleeding was localized. It didn't spread further than what they thought it would. It should have spread by that time. But in that moment, I was saying to Pastor Steve, I could have just missed it. I could have felt embarrassed. I could have felt like, I can't do that. What's she going to think? She's not a Christian. She's going to think I'm crazy. All of that. It's going to put her far further back from God with a friend. What are they going to say? But just hearing God's voice in that moment. It could be someone that you're sitting with on a bus or walking past in a shopping center or sitting next to in church. So that's why if we connect our spirit and he downloads and we position ourselves in the Word and the Spirit of God, he then takes us on this adventure. Pray for that person. And can I say to you, I've seen more people get healed outside of church service than in. Ridiculous amounts. Just because, not because I'm some big faith healing guru, not at all. I'm just a son that's got honey on his hands that just does what I hear my father tell me to do. You're stepping into this next year of going, the one person in my life. You've got honey on all over you. You've got God's love all over you. It could be just kindness. It could be paying for someone's coffee. You never know. But he could use you. A year later, a guy turned up at our Christmas dinner, end of last year. I'm here to volunteer. I said, awesome, great, thank you. Thought he was just from our community or different agencies that come and send their staff. And I am shaking his hand, introducing him around. And then he says this, "My wife said you wouldn't recognize me." Because his name was Clint. My name's Clint. He's good looking. I might have missed that train. He's so much taller than me. His build is just muscly. He's just a tank. You know, the before and after shot. That's what really it is. And he said, she said to say this, honey hands. And in that moment when he said honey hands, I knew who he was because I'd never met with him after he got the healing. I never spoke to them. It was a year in between. Didn't invite them to church, although I did try. And here he is standing in front of me, volunteering at our Love Langford dinner. I'm hugging him and crying, which is another level of crazy because, like, blokes don't do that. And just hugging and holding on to him. And then he tells me, he says, "Clint, that time when that happened to me, I started journeying and wondering about if there was a God." I didn't know. He says, "But since what's happened to me, I can't explain it other than being a miracle, and neither can doctors." He says, "I found God. I gave my life to him." How awesome is God? All right, that's me done. So this is going to be the strangest altar call. First group, there's a couple of groups of people that I want to talk to, and then there's one for all of us. The one for all of us, I'm going to ask you if you want some honey hands. I'm going to pray for that. I'm crazy. People say it doesn't matter. I'm not worried about it if you think, like, that's nuts. The first group I want to talk to, you're in faith, been in church for a heck of a long time, but there just doesn't feel to be any life in your relationship with him. that if the word aspect of Jesus being in your life and the spirit aspect of that being in your life, if that was a meal, maybe you haven't eaten for a while. Maybe you've been starving for a long time. So the only thing that you know about God and Jesus is through this sort of context, which is great, but he's inviting you to something closer. So it's because I want to show you, I want to reveal to you. He wants to speak to you, wants to encounter you, wants to fill you with his Holy Spirit. It's an amazing, he loves you so much. It's the first group. The second group of people is that maybe I did believe before, but I don't now. Or maybe you're here and I'm just checking it out. I don't know what I believe, like Clint was. And today is an opportunity for what I invite you to do called the Great Exchange. It's just to exchange life with him. God, I give you my life in exchange for the life of Jesus. God, I give you my sin in exchange for the forgiveness of Jesus. God, I give you my brokenness in exchange for your healing. God, I give you my fear in exchange for your love. God, I give you my anxiety in exchange for your peace. And I give you my bondage, the things that I can't break free from the generational stuff, from the addiction, from the anger. Give it all. Here it is. Messy or whatever, I give it. I give you all of that for your deliverance. So that's the prayer of exchange. Even as I said that, you were praying that and thinking about those thoughts. So can we just say it together as a body? With every head bowed, every eye closed. If that is you, I want you to grab your right hand. God, today I'm giving you my life. I want to pray this prayer of exchange. I want you to grab your right hand and place it on your heart. If that's what you want to do. Just no talking to anyone around you. This is between you and God. You've never given your life. This is you giving your life to him. You've walked away, but this is you saying, God, I'm coming back. Great. Several people right here today just with their hands on their heart. Come on, do you want to join them? This is your moment right now, you and God.